Well, we're in summer, right? Summertime. You love summertime? Yeah, I understand it might get warm. I don't know. What do you guys think? You know? I know. This is the hottest summer I can remember, but of course, it's offset because it's also one of the wettest that I remember either. And while we haven't had a major storm or anything like that, although those in Louisiana, let's keep them in our prayers. It's really tough to live where there's apparently a giant bullseye over your town that attracts every hurricane that gets in the Gulf of Mexico. But anyway, it's summer, and you're supposed to enjoy summer, and you're supposed to enjoy all. And yet, every afternoon it rains, right? The other day there was this big one of the big storms. Remember, it came through, and everything was just washed out. It was a mess over here, probably at your house too. And I ran into one of the members out in the vestibule over there, and they were like, "George, you know, you're a man of cloth. Can't you do anything about this?" And I said, "No, I'm in sales, not in management." Yeah. But as we go through summer, there's a certain pace to it. And I'm delighted that New Smyrna Beach has adopted that pace. I'm not sure that we have any other, but it's a pace that's a little bit more relaxed during the summer than it is the rest of the year. We're starting to make plans for activities in the church, activities here in New Smyrna Beach, and all kinds of different organizations are all coming together now because we're about to ramp up stuff. So at some point, we ramped down. And so it's a little bit more of a relaxed pace. And I think that's very, very good. In the South, this is something that we have done forever. A church that I served over in Central Florida, in the middle of the state, had a plan every year where they made worship an hour earlier. It was right after Memorial Day, an hour earlier. Labor Day, it went back to the regular time. Well, do you know why they did that? Well, it wasn't because they were farmers or anything like that. The orange trees didn't need much tending early in the morning. It's because they didn't have air conditioning. And so by bringing it down, and they actually went to a point where they only had worship like every other week. This is way, way, way back when. By the time that I got there, they were just slowing down a little bit. And I'm glad to see that other churches do the same thing. So it's hot in the South. I grew up in Miami with no air conditioning. My prayer life is profound. I will tell you, because of that, laying in my bunk bed in front of the jalousy windows, many of those of you from Florida know what that looks like, and praying to God, just a little bit of wind, just a little breeze, God, and I promise I'll become a pastor. I really will. And God took me at my word, and so, yeah, that's how that works. But in the South, we have sayings like there's a guy named Roy Blount Jr. wrote that in the South, it's true grits, more grits, fish grits, and collards. Life is good where grits are swallowed. Yeah. We may have to be in the South to endure some of the things that we're going, but I promise you, it's not much cooler up north either. But there's one guy named Clyde Etteridge wrote, "Because I was born in the South, I'm a Southerner. If I'd been born in the North, the West, or the Southern Plains, I would have been a human being." Yeah, I know, we're different. But not everybody enjoys this slower pace. A bank advertising loan stated that, an ad that said, "We can help when fast isn't fast enough." In a Sunday school class, we discussed some of this pace of life these days, and I was shocked by the responses of many of the people in the class that was best summarized this way: "I feel like I'm on the edge, stressed out, living with a sense of overload and no roadmaps for escape." Do you feel like that sometimes? Maybe summer, maybe the fall, maybe other times of the year that you can barely hold on. Happily, most of us live our lives inside what has been called the margin. The margin is defined this way: that space existing between ourselves and the limits of our resources or abilities, someplace in the middle of that. Now, sometimes we get pushed, medical issues or financial issues or whatever issues it might be, but most of us have that comfort area, because for a lot of folks, living outside of that has become an epidemic. The newspaper ran a feature story that described how we are overloading our children. We're hurrying them from academics to athletics with no downtime. A family that I know, their youngest son is an athlete, and he was in five different sports. I don't even know five different sports, and he was in all of them. And so he'd go from one sport to another sport, and the kid had full load at school. It was just amazing. No downtime for this little guy. Meanwhile, these kids watch their parents go through a day at breakneck speed, giving this message, the good life is in the fast lane. Push, push, push. Students miss the joy of school because of the pressures of competition, only to graduate and adopt this hyper-stressful habit that was part of their parents' lives. The whole idea of a time bind raises issues for which I believe Jesus offers a solution in today's scripture. First, Jesus tells us that it's not his will for believers to live in a time bind of exhaustion and stress. He makes this offer, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We live in a culture today geared on anything but rest. An advertisement for instant Quaker oatmeal shows a mom holding her small son under the caption, for moms who have a lot of love but not a lot of time. Nikki's a very picky eater. With instant Quaker oatmeal, I can give him a terrific hot breakfast in just under 30 seconds, and I don't have to spend any time coaxing him to eat it. Isn't that sad, though? Doesn't it strike you just a little bit as sad? Another commercial flouts a quick dinner from zero to fajitas in 8 minutes flat. Now, I love to cook. I really do. But boy, if I can do it in 8 minutes, I'm happy. Get it done, you know, get it on the table. We've lost the ability to relax, and so we have become time efficient. There's time efficient moms who take a cell phone into the bathroom so that they can talk while bathing the baby or answer emails while feeding their children. Speed and time efficiency, distorted priorities, have become a celebrated dysfunction in our culture, and we're paying a tragic price. A price partially described in the book The Time Bind, the author gives a very compelling argument about how our work habits are bringing a strategic reversal in American culture, which she describes as, when work becomes home, the home becomes work. She wrote that before COVID. I know. How many of you are working at home and working as hard as you ever did? I know some of you are retired. You're like, yeah, I'm retired. I watch you. I know you work harder now than you ever did. You just may not get paid for it, which is our advantage. But still, you're still working tremendously, tremendously hard. After a 3-year study of Fortune 500 companies, the author found workers were rejecting policies that would allow them more time for family. When asked why, the universal answer was, money is a higher priority than extra time. Her general conclusion was, the idea of more time for family life seems to have died, gone to heaven, and become an angel of an idea. Why? Because we invest in our work, the emotional significance once reserved for family. Fast isn't fast enough. It is a lifestyle that we willingly accept. Because all of the golden handcuffs of being able to accumulate more. In a book about speed in the electronics field entitled Inside the Tornado, the author discusses the short product life of most electronic advances and the pressure on companies to produce something new to stay alive. The life becomes a race, and we personally opt out to join the race because of distortions in our values. Carol Osborne offers 4 steps for breaking this superhuman way of living in a book entitled Enough is Enough. She said, think of something you'd like to do that would be a complete waste of time. Do that. Think for just a second. What this afternoon would be a complete waste of time? And then ask yourself if this activity has any redeeming value whatsoever. Complete waste of time, no redeeming value, and if it does, think of something else that does not. And number 4, do it. Just do it. Enough is enough. Jesus suggests that we are burdened and heavy laden, not because of pressures from our exterior environment, but because of something that is wrong inside of our hearts, a distortion of our values and our goals that have led us to reject his offer of rest. It is clear Jesus does not want his followers to live weary, overburdened lives. Which leads us to a second truth in the text. Breaking free from the time bind requires a supernatural change in our values and our priorities. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. means to submit, to come under the authority of Jesus. And using the metaphor of a double oxen yoke, Jesus describes his desire to partner with us as we seek to bring his kind of balance into our lives. He claims that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, as we choose to partner with him in making our decisions about everything, how we invest our time, how we invest our life. Because the bottom line is, we can live responsible lives following his priorities without burning out. So to understand our Lord's offer of rest, look at his day timer during his earthly ministry. He modeled balance in his life, always making time to withdraw for prayer and downtime after a period of hectic ministry. Relationships were his first priority. Relationships with his Father, his Heavenly Father, and casual time spent with his friends. But let's be honest. Any change in the pace of our lives, some very practical problems will arise. First of all, we have a mortgage. We want certain things in a certain social circle. We have a degree to earn, a career to attain. Downsizing in the company demands we do the job of two people because other people are standing in line to take our place. We are retired and we find that we're busier than we've ever been. No wonder it takes supernatural power to help us to stop our world and get off. James Atkin says, the renewal of our minds occurs in the process of moving back and forth between the worlds of hanging loose and hanging tight. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. All play and no work makes Jack a vain, self-centered slob. So what are we going to do? Well, first, we turn to Jesus. We first to his wisdom about money. What will it profit people to gain the whole world and lose their souls? He called the man who only hoarded his wealth and coveted more a fool, and telling us that if we have food, clothing, and a roof over our heads, we should be content, revealing the simple life as a good life, and that the amazing things and wealth has a little to do with finding joy and contentment. Have you ever considered how much attention you give to your money every day? And in the mind of Jesus, these prosperous times might not be the best of times. Some of us might need to break free from the time bind to cultivate a more simple lifestyle by downsizing, by refusing to get on the treadmill of seeking more of everything. Deciding enough is enough. And rather than hoard more, to give it away. The decision gives us new freedom. And then consider our Lord's wisdom about priorities of our time. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I have observed that people who give priority time to God's kingdom business always seem to have time for other things. One of the busiest people I know is a chairman of an international company in Atlanta and a faithful elder in his church. He makes decisions that affect the livelihood of thousands and thousands of employees, and yet he serves on the board of a local food bank. He helps out at building a project. I was with him many years ago as we built a habitat house side by side. And he can be relied upon to help sort clothes for a free store for those who are homeless. Many husbands and wives make time to be with each other and with their children, regardless of the sacrifice. Many single Christians cope with loneliness by retreating to the office, but by making time to cultivate friendships and serving other people. Jesus would help us understand the true treasures in a life that include time spent with family and friends, time spent serving, sharing, relating to people's needs, time spent in daily prayer and relating to God. I've never heard anyone say, as they reflected on their lives, I spent too much time with my family and friends and serving the Lord. And then adding a note at this point, I'm very pleased that this church takes our responsibility towards our leaders very, very seriously. We're just working on our nominating committee, and we're going to be asking people to serve and to come on to committees. And I tell them, when they form their committees, be sure that you don't let people think that just because you've asked them to be a Sunday school teacher or to help out with fellowship or to rake leaves, that it is a life sentence. You know, give them a year and then let them go and go someplace else. If they want to come back, they will come back. But if they want to go do something else, they can do that. We're very serious about here. Over the years, I've seen the wretched refuse of burned out people in ministry. People who, when asked, when they're being a Sunday school teacher, they just have given all that they can give. I remember an elder who told me of her discovery after years of doing for people that far greater ministry was making time to just be with people. A yoke that was easy and a burden that was light. And thirdly, relate our Lord's wisdom about rest to the most neglected of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. How many of you remember? Because, I mean, I've been around for a while, I'll admit it, on Sundays when nothing happened. Do you remember? Do you remember those days when you went home and mom had cooked something the day before and you had leftovers? Or hot dogs. A lot of hot dogs. Yeah, I remember those. A lot of chicken. Yeah. Warming in the oven. Okay, that's good. And then the rest of the day, what did you do? You hung out? You had spent time with family and friends? Did you get in your car and drive around the neighborhood just to see who's out? Yeah, did you all that kind of stuff? How many of you have done any of that? I haven't. You know, Sunday is a time to mow the grass and to go. There's just we every moment is just jammed with stuff. And Sunday should not be that day. I know I say that, but I need to go put a mirror up in front of this pulpit. Our personal and national disobedience of this command is a major contributor to our time bind. God created us with a need for downtime. Time set apart to worship, to rest, to reflect, and to relate. Everyone needs it. Spencer Tracy was once asked what he looked for in a movie script, and his answer was, days off. I like that. It will take, well, something short of a miracle to change our priorities, but as Christians, we believe in miracles because we believe that Jesus can change people and therefore can change us. I believe that learning to partner with Jesus and finding his rest as our method to cope with fast isn't fast enough mentality of our times is a critical issue for us. And it can mean physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual life or death. Jesus said, and hear it again, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that we have this reminder, that an opportunity to rest, to come into this place, and to be together with family and friends, to hear music and prayer and words, and to just sit quietly sometimes and enjoy time that is just downtime. We thank you for that. But it is hard. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Help us to embrace that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.